Europe's COVID-19 death toll surpasses 1 million as the pandemic reaches a critical point. An Australian man who died of COVID-19 in Queensland is said to have caught the virus here in the Philippines. Senators Laila de Lima and Panfilo Lacson take swipes at President Rodrigo Duterte over his handling of the Philippines' latest COVID-19 surge. And President Rodrigo Duterte urged to declare a state of calamity on the country's hog industry ravaged by the African swine fever. We'll speak with Agriculture Assistant Secretary Noel Reyes about that. Good afternoon, I am Rica Lazo. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching us on YouTube and Facebook, nice to have you with us. COVID-19 deaths in Europe reach 1 million. Despite the somber news, Britain has pushed through with its plan to ease curbs for the first time in months, opening up shops and other establishments such as gyms and spas. This has raised fears of another surge in coronavirus infections. The World Health Organization warned the public not to get complacent as the world reaches a critical point in the pandemic.
Confusion, complacency, and inconsistency in public health measures and their application are driving transmission and costing lives. It takes a consistent, coordinated, and comprehensive approach.
If you look on our website and you actually look at the epi curve and the trajectory of the pandemic right now, it is growing exponentially. This is not the situation we want to be in 16 months into a pandemic where we have proven control measures.
An 80-year-old man has died from COVID-19 in Queensland, Australia, the first death to be recorded in the state in under a year. Local media reports he was diagnosed while under quarantine in a hotel and was admitted to a hospital on March 25. He died on April 12. Queensland's chief health officer said the man acquired the virus in the Philippines, where he had been living for some time. He returned to Australia after traveling through Papua New Guinea. Authorities say there's no risk to the community after everyone who arrived in the same flight underwent quarantine. Queensland has a total of over 1,500 confirmed cases of COVID-19. 55 of them remain active. Here at home, there has been a negative growth rate of COVID-19 in the capital region due to the enhanced community quarantine. But that's not a reason to celebrate yet. The Okta Research Group notes while daily coronavirus cases eased for a week under ECQ, this does not guarantee a downward trend.
It means that if we take the average number of cases last week, I have updated data that I'm going to read. The average number of cases per day for the past 7 days is 4,800. And the previous week, if we go back 1 week before, the average number of cases was 5,300. So we can see that this past week was lower, 4,800, versus the week before that, 5,300. So this time it's a decrease of 9%. But it does not guarantee that we're already on a downward trend.
The Philippines confirmed over 11,300 new coronavirus cases Monday, the fourth straight day that the number of new infections was over 10,000. The figure is also the sixth highest since the start of the pandemic. Meanwhile, deaths due to COVID-19 have surpassed 15,000, while 703,000 have recovered from the virus. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora optimistic the number of COVID-19 cases in his city will go down following the two-week enhanced community quarantine over the NCR Plus bubble. San Juan currently has 1,125 active COVID-19 cases. But Zamora says this number could have reached 2,000 if it weren't for the ECQ. Zamora also reminds residents to stay vigilant despite the easing of restrictions.
And now that we are expecting recoveries every single day, this will start going down. But of course, this doesn't mean that people should be overconfident at this point. I'm just saying that we have shifted to MECQ. We have allowed a little more people outside, and these are those working in allowed industries. But people should still have that mindset that we really have to be careful. We have to follow all minimum health standards and protocols.
A group of healthcare professionals asserts the enhanced community quarantine imposed in Metro Manila and nearby provinces should have been extended for 2 more weeks. Dr. Maricar Limpin of the Healthcare Professionals Alliance Against COVID-19 says government's move to downgrade quarantine restrictions sends the wrong message to the public. She explains emergency rooms are still more than 100% full. She adds contact tracing efforts by local government units are severely lacking.
The reason kung bakit tayo umabot sa ganito uli, dahil palesen tayo ng palesen ng mga community quarantine natin in the past, no? Na it is really sending the wrong message to the people. Kaya madami ang hindi nag-adhere. And the LGUs, no, hindi lang yung tao ang hindi sumusunod. Marami na ang pasaway. But the LGUs also. The LGUs are not implementing, no, yung mga kailangan gawin ng mga tao. So dapat nasa LGUs mas mahigpit. There are programs na hindi na masyadong natutuloy. And right now, yung contact tracing, they're doing it. Pero feeling ko parang kulang pa tayo.
The Philippine Health Department, along with the National Task Force Against COVID-19, vows to decongest hospitals during the implementation of modified enhanced community quarantine in the NCR and other areas. To do this, the DOH and NTF are working to institute a so-called NCR Plus integrated COVID-19 system, which will facilitate the referral of all kinds of COVID-19 cases. Mild cases will be referred to temporary treatment facilities, moderate cases in level 1 to 2 hospitals, and severe cases in level 3 hospitals. The DOH and NTF will also activate new isolation facilities, which will provide the country more than 1,700 additional beds for mild and asymptomatic cases. The government also eyes converting other facilities like stadiums and coliseums into mega vaccination sites. This as they aim to inoculate 4 million Filipinos a month once the bulk of COVID-19 vaccine supply arrives.
Kailangan po natin 55,000 vaccinators, and we will have more or less 5,000 to 6,000 vaccination sites with 100 per team. Ang balak nga namin is kayahin natin yung ginawa sa US na yung mga stage nyo at mga coliseum ay i-convert natin na mega vaccination site. Wala pa po tayo sa mega. Ang ginano po natin, mga doon pa lang po tayo sa mga hospitals. At saka yung na-able pa lang po natin is more or less 2,000, tinatawag nating rural at saka mga tinatawag nating third class na vaccination site.
Government can take over hotels and use them as COVID-19 facilities. That's according to President Duterte, after Health Secretary Francisco Duque said hospitals have been directed to reserve hotel rooms for their staff who may test positive for the virus.
Government can expropriate yung mga hotels, motels, whatever, kung kulang ang mga halfway houses natin yung naghihintay. So, we kind of have the power. The government has the power to just expropriate. Puntahan na lang, sabihin gagamitin.
The Philippines in talks to acquire 20 to 40 million doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says he is expecting the arrival of the jabs once the U.S. finishes its inoculation drive, which he estimates to be in July. According to Galvez, the U.S. committed to give some of their excess doses to ally countries, including the Philippines.
And we are very happy that they confirm yung initial commitment po nila. And we are happy also that hopefully it will be also included in COVAX. So meaning over and above dun sa natin, sa bilateral po natin, ay magkakaroon po tayo sa COVAX. So ibig sabihin, pagka nagsucceed po tayo sa COVAX, we will also succeed to have some excess of the doses from Pfizer.
Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration says it may finish evaluating Johnson & Johnson's application for emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine this week. Government is also expecting 1.5 million more doses of Sinovac's jabs and 500,000 doses of Russia's Sputnik V this month. Galvez says Sputnik V may be used on the elderly now that AstraZeneca vaccines have run out.
We have to expect na this coming June and July, baka magkaroon na naman tayo ng peaking or surge. We have to expect for the worst when we are planning something. And we are now preparing for just in case nakikita po natin na yung virus, nakita natin last year, it started March and April. And maybe nagkaroon to ng cycle, nakikita natin pagka nasimula sa Cebu, tatamaan ng NCR. And then after NCR, itong Bacolod.
Another lockdown aid distribution descends into chaos, this time in Taguig. The city's social welfare officials say they were forced to postpone the fourth day of the distribution of cash assistance in Barangay Upper Bikutan on Monday after some residents found they were not on the list of beneficiaries. This led to some minor physical altercations. Taguig will resume giving out aid once officials iron out the process. In his Monday night address, President Rodrigo Duterte ordered the Interior Department to address these incidents.
Maraming nagreklamo na ano, so ask your field officers to try to make the rounds and investigate if these allegations are true. I do not have any reason to doubt the mayor's lalo ni Manalaki. Just the same, para hindi tayo mapasama dito sa television. Sige, may hindi sila binigyan, piso lang. Kung piso lang, grabe na yan.
But Interior Undersecretary Bernardo Flores insists they have not received any complaints so far.
All our undersecretaries and assistant secretaries as well are our directors ay sila po sir ang nagmo-monitor sa lahat ng LGUs. Umiikot po sila sir araw-araw. And so far wala kami sir na tanggap na complaints.
President Duterte no longer interested in getting vaccinated against COVID-19. In his public address Monday night, the 76-year-old chief executive said he was ready to give his allocated vaccine to someone else. He added, those who have a chance to live productively should be prioritized.
We are not in the priority anyway. Kasi above ano na. Ang unahin natin, yung mabubuhay pa. Ako, mag-wave ako. Mag-wave ako. Because sa 70 above. Alam mo, 70 above. Ano mang makuha mo magsige ka dream? Dream of what? Living until kingdom come? Most of the senior citizens are no longer that productive. Pero na lang yung na-elect itong mga na naging congressman, senador. Oh, kasi may trabaho talaga yan. Pero go after this, wala na akong.
Last year, Duterte said he was willing to be publicly vaccinated, even offering to be a guinea pig for Russia's COVID-19 jab. President Duterte taunted his critics once again Monday, just days after he went missing from the public eye for nearly 2 weeks. Duterte addressed rumors on his whereabouts in his weekly public address. He says he deliberately avoided public appearances.
Noong nawala ako ng ilang araw, talagang sinadya ko yun. Ganun ako eh. Nasaan ang presidente? You know, baka patay na. If you want me to die early, you must pray harder. Actually, what you intend or what you would like to happen is to see me go. You want me to go and you're praying for that.
Duterte added, he returns to his hometown, Davao City, whenever he wants. He also defended his longtime aide, Senator Christopher Bongo, who has posted photos of Duterte playing golf and riding his motorbike. Duterte said there was nothing wrong with enjoying his free time. The chief executive canceled his public engagements last week after some members of his security team tested positive for COVID-19. But Malacanang said Duterte was not sick. Just get to work. That's jailed Philippine Senator Laila De Lima's response to President Duterte after his latest tirade against her. On Twitter, De Lima said, "Many Filipinos are dying from COVID-19, yet the president was still picking a fight with her." She also noted Duterte was against banning travel from China during the onset of the pandemic, accusing him of being a lapdog of Beijing. During his Monday night address, Duterte dismissed De Lima's criticism of his government's COVID-19 response. He also brought up illegal drug trafficking allegations against her.
Diyan kung ano-anong pinagsasabi mo na hindi ko kaya. Bakit? Ikaw ba ang nag-elect sa akin? Tagal kaya ako dito sa gusto na ito kung inutil ako. Would the military allow me to govern? Tama yan sa iyo. Magtiis ka. Binastos mo ang Pilipinas ng druga dyan mismo sa National Penitentiary.
Last February, a court acquitted De Lima in one of the three drug cases she was facing. The vocal administration critic has long denied involvement in the drug trade, saying the charges against her were politically motivated. Senator Panfilo Lacson also takes a swipe at President Duterte after the chief executive said his two-week absence was deliberate and was meant to spite his critics. On social media, Lacson said he hopes the chief executive is done playing hide-and-seek as public concern mounts over his health condition. The lawmaker adds it is normal for people to be concerned about the real medical condition of any sitting president. A new study shows almost 2 in 3 Filipinos agree that President Duterte's health is a public matter. According to a new social weather station survey, 65% of Filipinos believe Duterte should disclose his health status, while the remaining 32% think it's a private concern. The survey was conducted in September last year. Back in 2019 and 2018, 61% of Filipinos said Duterte's health is a public matter. The new survey comes as Duterte faces backlash for disappearing from the public eye for nearly 2 weeks amid the raging COVID-19 pandemic. Presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio back in her hometown after her trip to Singapore last week. The Davao City mayor left the country, saying it was for personal health management reasons. In an interview with the Davao City Disaster Radio, Duterte Carpio clarified her recent overseas trip was not related to the health status of her father. The younger Duterte added she's set to make 2 more visits to Singapore until next year. The Philippine National Police set to file homicide complaints against 2 village officials who allegedly beat up a curfew violator to death. The officials accosted 26-year-old Hernani Jimenez in Laguna Province last Wednesday. Witnesses say the village watchman kicked and tripped Jimenez, who fell to the ground and hit his head. Jimenez died at a hospital last Friday.
All these will have to be brought to the attention of the court. Paalala na po yung prosecutor, of course, to have an understanding to make probable cause to file the information against the 2 barangay talo.
The village official denied the allegations. They claim Jimenez stumbled because he was drunk. Meanwhile, the Philippines' Human Rights Commission condemns the alleged beating, which it says may be tantamount to torture. Earlier this month, another curfew violator died in Cavite after being forced to do intense exercise as punishment. The province of Oriental Mindoro tightens border restrictions after it detected its first cases of the UK COVID-19 variant. According to Oriental Mindoro Governor Humerlito Dolor, one of the patients was a government employee, while the other was a returning overseas Filipino worker. Dolor also says that local hospitals have reached the critical level due to the rapid rise of infections. The province currently has over 300 active COVID-19 cases. Marikina City plans to go house to house to vaccinate senior citizens and persons with disabilities against COVID-19. Marikina Mayor Marcy Chodoro says he's looking to borrow mobile vaccination vans from the Philippine Red Cross to do so. He also wants to conduct a house-to-house vaccine registration of senior citizens for those who have trouble going online. Coming up, Australia's crafts plans to buy Johnson & Johnson's one-shot COVID-19 vaccine. Also, U.S. federal forces are in Minnesota to help maintain peace and calm following the fatal shooting of another black man by police. Stay tuned. This is Dateline Philippines. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at the headlines. Europe's COVID-19 death toll surpasses 1 million as the pandemic reaches a critical point. An Australian man who died of COVID-19 in Queensland is said to have caught the virus here in the Philippines. Senators Laila de Lima and Panfilo Lacson take swipes at President Rodrigo Duterte over his handling of the Philippines' latest COVID-19 surge. And President Duterte urged to declare a state of calamity on the country's hog industry, ravaged by the African swine fever. A bishop rebuffs the statement of palace spokesperson Harry Roque that it was unchristian to ask how he was able to immediately secure hospital admission for COVID-19. Manila Archdiocese Apostolic Administrator Bishop Broderick Pabillo said the question was legitimate because as a public official, Roque should be transparent. Roque's hospitalization for his second bout with COVID-19 comes as hospitals turn away other COVID-19 patients after reaching full capacity.
Bakit babansagan? Gusto lang magsagot na siya ng maayos kung paano. Gusto malaman ng mga tao. And as a public figure, dapat hindi sila matakot. Nagtanong din sila ng publiko, no, sa ganyang mga pangyayari. Kaya ito was uncalled for.
Australia recalibrates its vaccination program. It has abandoned its goal to inoculate its nearly 26 million population by the end of this year. Australia had stopped vaccinations of people under 50 with AstraZeneca's doses due to links to blood clots. It also shelved plans to buy Johnson & Johnson's one-dose COVID-19 vaccine, which is also under review for supposed blood clots. Japan begins COVID-19 vaccinations for its sizable elderly population. But as this report tells us, imported doses are still in short supply.
Japan began COVID-19 vaccinations for its 36 million elderly people on Monday. But imported doses are still in short supply, and the pace for inoculation is unlikely to stop a fourth wave of infection. Japan is one of the last major economies to begin vaccinations. The country is dependent on Pfizer vaccines as it is the only COVID shot approved by domestic regulators. Pfizer vaccines made in Europe were delivered to some 120 sites across the country in the past week for people aged 65 and above. Just 2,810 people in Tokyo are expected to get a shot from the first batch, while most regions will receive 1,000 or fewer, according to a health ministry schedule. About 1.1 million people in Japan, mostly frontline health workers, have received one dose of the Pfizer vaccine so far. In a recent poll by local news media, about 60% of people were dissatisfied with Japan's progress on vaccinations. Japan has reported over 9,400 deaths by Monday, according to a Reuters tally, low compared to most other major economies. But concerns of the new wave of infections are rising, particularly with the delayed Olympic Games coming up fast.
Regeneron Pharmaceuticals is seeking U.S. approval for its COVID-19 antibody therapy as preventive treatment for COVID-19. This report tells us more.
There could be a new treatment in the fight against COVID. Regeneron said on Monday that it's pursuing U.S. approval for its COVID-19 antibody cocktail as a preventative treatment after it helped cut the risk of symptomatic infections in households where someone else is ill. According to trial data released by the company, the drug protected household contacts exposed to COVID from ever developing symptoms in a majority of the cases, with 72% protection against symptomatic infections in the first week and 93% after that. Regeneron has enlisted Switzerland's Roche and its massive biotech facility in South San Francisco to make around 2 million doses annually. The cocktail already has emergency U.S. approval for patients with mild to moderate COVID, and the companies are hoping the latest trials convince regulators to expand deployment. Medical experts say it could be useful to control outbreaks in high-risk settings where people haven't been vaccinated.
In business, tens of thousands of Filipinos lost their jobs due to the hard lockdown in the NCR Plus area. According to the Labor Department, a total of 17,329 people were laid off during that two-week period, mostly from Metro Manila. Among the sectors worst hit were construction, transport and accommodation, and food support services. What's worse, the Labor Department says more people could lose their jobs, even with the downgraded restrictions.
Magtutuloy-tuloy po siguro ito kasi yung mga other services, it falls under the non-essential. Tapos yung sa dine-in naman po, allowed lang 50%, pero outdoor po siya. Eh, karamihan naman po ng ating mga restaurants, halimbawa yung mga nasa loob ng mall, hindi pa rin po pwede silang mag-accept ng dine-in.
The Labor Department is asking for about 52 billion pesos to be able to provide a three-month wage subsidy for displaced workers and 30 billion pesos more for its emergency employment and cash assistance program. The Philippines' Agriculture Secretary comes under fire at the Senate as lawmakers investigate the country's pork supply problems. Sharian Torres with the full story.
During Monday's Senate Committee of the Whole hearing, Philippine Senator Panfilo Lacson grilled agriculture officials for recommending to the president the tariff reduction of imported meat from the current 30% to 40% to a mere 5% to 15%. President Rodrigo Duterte approved the DA's recommendation and carried it in his signed Executive Order 128. That is aside from also adopting the DA's stand that the minimum access volume on imported meat should be increased from the current 54,000 metric tons to 400,000 metric tons.
Bakit sa halip na mag-isip ng ang kagawaran ng agrikultura ng mga paraan upang matulungan ang mga hog raisers na dumaranas sa matinding pagsubok dahil sa COVID-19 at African swine fever ay importasyon kaagad ang kanilang inihaing solusyon? Don't they realize that such inconsiderate course of action has far-reaching implications on our country's food security and even on our national security?
Lacson warns these steps being taken by the government will cause around 80,000 backyard hog raisers to go bankrupt. Lacson also cites data from the Philippine Statistics Authority, which show the country's pork consumption demand is only 1.850 million metric tons, while the local hog industry is able to provide 2.2 million metric tons.
So, where is the shortage, Mr. President? Hindi mamalinaw na higit pa sa sapat ang supply mula sa local na produksyon upang matugunan ang pangangailangan ng ating bansa.
Other senators also point out the negative effects of the president's decision.
While this move may help ease the problem, we must also consider its consequential ill effects to the already suffering condition of the economy, like high cost of importation.
It seems that we allowed an imported virus kill our local pigs by letting too much imported pork finish off what is left of our hog industry.
Agriculture Secretary William Dar appeals for sobriety, stressing that all these measures will only last for a year. Dar adds they base the recommendations from actual industry data.
Estimates by the DA National Livestock Program on projected pork supply for 2021 shows a deficit of 388,563 metric tons from a supply of 1.22 million metric tons. as against a demand of 1.6 million metric tons. So, talagang manipis na po yung supply natin.
The justification, however, does not sit well with Senator Cynthia Villar.
Yung importation na yan is dependent on needs. Hindi naman yan, it came out of heaven na walang reason dyan. So that means ang demand is ganyan lang. Ngayon, kung sinabi mo lumiit ang production ng meat, ng hog meat sa Philippines, tatanungin natin gaano lumiit.
Kung ang demand ay base dun sa PSA data na 15 kilos kada tao, ang total demand ng Pilipinas ay 1.6 million kilos, million metric tons.
An investigating group created by Secretary Dar meanwhile alleges that some businessmen are trying to sneak imported meat into the country by taking advantage of weak registration, accreditation, unaudited permits, risk classifications that are easily altered, open-close examination, diverted containers, and shipments that are being released without inspection. A number of agriculture officials and staff are now facing charges according to the Compliance and Regulatory Enforcement for Security and Trade Office, or CRESTO. Aside from smuggled imported meat, the DA is also blaming the entry of ASF into the country to returning Filipinos bringing with them imported meat products. To date, more than 20 countries are still barred from sending imported meat to the Philippines due to high ASF cases in their areas. Sharian Torres, ABS-CBN News.
Agriculture Chief William Dar says they already submitted a draft declaration to the palace amid calls for President Duterte to declare a state of calamity over the hog industry. We're now joined by Agriculture Assistant Secretary Noel Reyes. Good afternoon, ASEC Noel, and thank you so much for taking our call, sir.
Good afternoon to Rica, and good afternoon to our listeners, our viewers, ANC Dateline Philippines.
All right. Thank you, sir. The president recently approved the DA's proposal to lower tariff rates on imported pork, despite the call of lawmakers to instead impose a state of calamity. Now, ASEC, was this not considered by the DA?
The recommendation was based on a consensus of all agencies under the Cabinet Trade-Related Matters, NEDA, and, of course, the NEDA board. Okay. And that was taken into consideration. The lowering of tariffs was recommended because we lost more than 3 million hogs during the past year due to ASF. And that's why supply of hogs went down by more than 3 million.
Mm-hmm. I understand, sir, that you have spoken with NEDA regarding this.
Yes.
But have you also spoken with the local hog racers? Why push for lower tariffs that might kill, actually, the local hog industry?
Oh. Actually, they know that, in fact, they estimated that the deficit of pork in the Philippines will run up to about 500,000 metric tons of pork due mm-hmm. to the ASF. And so we just had a lower 400,000 metric ton volume recommended.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they know that the swine population is down, and of course they've been and they were badly hit. So we're augmenting the supply of pork just to stabilize supply and prices.
All right. Assuming, ASEC Noel, if the president heeds the call of the Senate to impose a state of calamity on the hog industry, what actions will this trigger from the Department of Agriculture?
Yeah, we need the declaration of calamity or emergency because this will free up some investments or public funds wherein the local government units will be are compliant to set aside amounts for the control of ASF.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we'll be allotting more funds, and the national government may allot more funds to control, manage, and prevent ASF from further spreading. So mm-hmm. that's the main reason of the declaration of a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the last Senate investigation, ASIC Nobel, we learned that the Bureau of Customs are also not informed of this decision by your department. How do you think the revenue lost on tariff collections can be regained by the government? Did you offer an alternative way, at least a proposal, of how the government can recover the millions we can possibly lose in this?
We're looking at it a different view, Rica. Mm-hmm. The loss in revenues will redound to a lower price of pork for our consumers. So that's the other side of the picture.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the importation.
The benefits given,
all right,
accruing to the consumers with this lower-priced imports.
Mm-hmm. All right. ASIC Nobel, Senator Lacson released a statement wherein he said that the imposition of lower tariffs can cost the government millions in revenue and also kill the industry of local hog raisers. Can I get your comment on that matter, sir?
No. We're doing this not to just to balance the interest of our consumers, but not to kill the industry. In fact, The industry is still thriving in Visayas, in Mindanao, in some parts in Calabarzon, where there's no ASF. In fact, they have been supplying their excess production to Metro Manila, mm-hmm, to the tune of, it's running about 280,000 hogs and more than 1 million kilos of pork to Metro Manila. So again, without this thriving industry, hog industry in other parts of the country, we will have a big problem in our pork supply.
Mm-hmm.
And prices would be skyrocketing. So again, the hog industry is still thriving in areas where there is no ASF, just like in Calabarzon, Visayas, and Mindanao.
All right. Sir, you mentioned that the Visayas Mindanao hog racers are thriving now. Mm. So are we assuming that only hog racers in Metro Manila are affected greatly by the ASF pandemic? Is that correct?
Yes, but there's no hog industry here in Metro Manila, but in other parts of Central Luzon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Central Luzon, Bulacan, Pampanga, and Tarlac were hardly hit by ASF, but they are now recovering. Some parts of some municipalities in those provinces are recovering, and in fact, we're engaging or undertaking a hog repopulation program in ASF-free communities there in this part of Luzon, no, Central Luzon,
mm-hmm,
and other parts of besides in Mindanao, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course, ASIC, you have been in talks with the local hog raisers regarding this. How are they coping up with the pandemic, the big farms and also especially the small backyard farm owners?
The big corporations are pitching in. There are several big commercial farms under the UNACO system and under in Batangas and in Western Visayas and Visayas and Mindanao. They're pitching in to under our banner, our umbrella, Barangay Bantay ASF sa Barangay. So we're thanking them and of course, the local government units were all participating strongly to wage this campaign against ASF.
Mm-hmm. Sir, when you mentioned the big hog racing farms are pitching in, what do you mean and how are they helping?
They're helping it through by, instilling biosecurity, helping backyard farmers, their contract growers with their biosecurity measures. They're also providing healthy piglets and veterinary mm-hmm. products, biologics.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lastly, ASIC Nobel, before I let you go, the pandemic of ASF has been over a year and we still mm-hmm. haven't been able to see any solution on this. Can you give us a clear plan of at least how the DA is planning to handle the crisis of ASF?
No, again, we're handling it through the Bantay ASF program mm-hmm. and we're encouraging the LGUs to take an active role, including veterinarians, veterinary groups, and pharmaceutical companies, and of course the private sector and the academe. So again, hand in hand, we will be. The incidence of ASF, by the way, is waning. It's about 280 cases now as of March, end of March. So again, we're looking at the brighter side of it. And then there's an ASF rapid test kit, wherein it can be used to trace detect ASF infection in farms. So again, we're looking at a brighter future in the next few months.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, there's still no vaccine for this yet, right?
There is. There is one developed by the U.S., and they're now testing it in Vietnam and England. UK has developed also one vaccine, and they're testing it. So again, we're having talks with USDA and Vietnam for them to give us samples of the vaccine once they are cleared or they have finished the testing, the clinical testing in that country.
All right, that's good news. Hopefully you'd be able to get that sample.
Yes,
anyway, Rica. Thank you so much. I would let you go right now, Asik Noel Reyes. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rica, on behalf of Secretary William Darren and Department of Agriculture. Thank you for this opportunity, Rica.
Good afternoon, sir, and keep safe. Now on to more news. President Duterte calls on Filipinos to promote solidarity among one another as the country celebrates the holy month of Ramadan. In his message, Duterte urged the public to manifest faith through action and to foster peace, hope, and unity amid hardships. He adds, this period of fasting for our Muslim brothers and sisters reminds us of the value of sacrifice, obedience, and charity in our lives. World News Now, Taiwan says 25 Chinese Air Force aircraft have entered its airspace, the largest incursion by China in the self-ruled island to date. Taiwan's defense ministry identified the aircraft as fighter jets and nuclear-capable bombers. In response, Taiwan dispatched combat aircraft to warn away the Chinese fleet. This comes after the U.S. State Department issued new guidelines that will enable U.S. officials to meet Taiwanese officials more freely. The U.S. is also ramping up cooperation with the Philippine military. A two-week joint military exercise between the two countries kicked off on Monday. The drills are expected to strengthen Manila's capabilities in addressing security challenges, especially amid China's increased aggression in the West Philippine Sea. Over in the U.S., police have released video of Sunday's fatal shooting of the 20-year-old black man Dante Wright in a suburb in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The city's police chief says the incident appeared to be an accidental discharge by an officer.
As I watched the video and listened to the officer's commands, it is my belief that the officer had the intention to deploy their taser, but instead shot Mr. Wright with a single bullet. This appears to me, from what I viewed and the officer's reaction and distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Mr. Wright. My position is that officer afforded due process just like anybody else does. She has the right to be heard. She has the right to give her statement. She has the right to tell what she felt, what she thought. Not what I thought, not what I saw, but what she thought and what she, and that may have an impact.
The incident is still under investigation, but the local mayor says the police officer should be fired. For now, she has been placed on administered leave. Her identity was not disclosed, with authorities merely describing her as a very senior officer. The shooting triggered unrest in Brooklyn Center, with police firing tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse angry protesters. Meanwhile, U.S. federal forces are in Minnesota to help maintain peace and calm. Local baseball, basketball, and hockey games were also called off following the announcement of a curfew. President Joe Biden also says he has spoken to local authorities about the fatal shooting of Dante Wright.
I think we got to wait and see what the investigation shows, the entire investigation. In the meantime, I want to make it clear again, there is absolutely no justification, none, for looting, no justification for violence. Peaceful protest, understandable, calling for peace and calm. And we should listen to Dante's mom, who is calling for peace and calm.
Wright's mother told reporters her son called her on Sunday, telling her that police pulled him over for having air fresheners dangling from his rearview mirror, which is illegal in Minnesota. But police say Wright was stopped due to an expired car registration. In sports, the Philadelphia 76ers are back on top of the Eastern Conference standings. The Sixers crushed the Dallas Mavericks 113-95. Joel Embiid led Philadelphia with 36 points. He dominated Dallas's front line, which was missing Kristaps Porzingis, who sat out the second game of a back-to-back. The Sixers took a half-game lead over Brooklyn in the race for the top seed in the East. The New York Knicks proved once again why they're NBA's best defensive team. The Knicks clamped down on the defending champions Los Angeles Lakers 111-96. Knicks all-star Julius Randle lit up the Lakers for 34 points and 10 rebounds. New York improved to 28 wins and 27 losses, good for the eighth spot in the East. And before we go, one of the most high-profile casualties of the pandemic is ready to stage a comeback. New York City's annual Met Gala set to once again conduct its usual in-person event after it was held virtually in 2020. This year's theme, American fashion. Organizers say they wanted to focus on that particular community since it has suffered so much due to the health crisis. The Costume Institute also planned not just one, but two interconnected galas. The first one will take place in September this year, right after what will hopefully be the return of Fashion Week. The second one will happen in May next year. The Met Gala is an annual charity event held at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. The invitation-only event is usually attended by A-list Hollywood celebrities and features gowns from renowned fashion designers. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I am Rika Lazo. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast, too, on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep it here on the ABS-CBN News Channel.